Praise ye the Lord. Father, we thank you for a joyful time in your presence, Lord. In your presence, truly is the fullness of joy. Lord, oh Lord God, we have been energized again. Lord, we say we come before you to receive strength. And you have given us strength. Lord, blessed be the name, oh Lord. As we now share again, our things concerning your ancient people. Lord, which to us has served, a great example, O Lord God, of your great faithfulness over the ages to your people. So, Lord, bless us tonight as we see what great wonders you have been wrought in their life. Father, grant it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Again, you see, talking about the Israel, past, present, and future. So, we are winding down on it now. So we won't go through all the steps that we went through before. We were at the time where they got independence, right? That was by 12:01 a.m. on May 15, 1948, Tel Aviv time. So the state of Israel came into being. That past midnight, that is 12:01 May 15, 1948. That was the same last day. Later that day, British army left Palestine for the last time. They departed Palestine that day. But before they moved, right at 0 minutes to that day, Israel declared an independence that we went through before. Now then, we talk about it. As soon as they got independence, there came a war, called the War of Independence, right? So as Israel declared our independence, 7 enemy nations opposed us, namely, which we named before and compared to even the date of Moses, the same number of nations and so on. Anyway, so it was, there were Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and Egypt, raised up against them. So the Arabs, of course, possess modern weaponry, right, that they got from the British that just departed, So the Jews had little, with which to defend themselves, really, very little. And save a desperation born out of a desire to save their homes and country. Supply, this is a summary of what we have before last time, Supply conditions in Jerusalem have been desperate for some time. The city had little food left and almost no ammunition whatsoever. The only thing in favor of the Jews was that somehow God allowed it. There was a rumor among them that maybe they have atomic bomb. See? So, but even though they didn't have it at that time, a little bit of deterrent, So anyway, the Arabs with British guns that have been turned over to them by the British before they left, began to share into the city of Jerusalem, hauling, damaging churches, synagogues, schools. This is a new nation, right? I just told you that. Churches, schools, and hospitals, as well as many other buildings. For time and tide soon turned to the side of the Jews. I will say God turned on their side, rather. Everywhere the Arabs were on the run now. They're now on the run. So, back in the month of October, Israeli forces captured Beersheba, crawled to the Egyptian territory, but due to political pressure, when they are oppressing there, people don't say anything, right? When they now made inroads and to these enemies in Delhi, they stop them from going forward. Anyway, due to political pressure, Israel had to withdraw, from the Egyptian soil. So the Egyptian army was decisively defeated at that time, really. Of course, they went to their land. And on February 24, 1949, So Israel and Egypt will sign an armistice agreement. So that is the war of independence, we call that. Okay? So now we're going to move forward in future. So immediately you see these things are now war, my pool. It's just war. So we're going to look at another war, two wars really tonight before we quickly close, you know, two wars. The war of 1956. So in the year 1952, so they started in 1949, like I said, they signed agreement with Egypt and so on. So in 1952, there was a revolution in Egypt. And there was a man, you have heard of his name before, Abdel Nasser was his name. He was the head of the revolutionary command in Egypt. And he himself was not the leader. Was just a military leader, but the real man, of course, you know, of the revolution. So later on, this Nasser disposed him, and then installed himself as king, you know, president over Egypt. He had a grandiose plan, not only for Egypt, but for the Arab world. See? He immediately published a book which proposed Egypt as the leader of the Arab world, with himself the leader of the Arabs. This is Nasser, yeah, it's in history. So, and I know why I'm talking about it, because you can all that it has been happening from there to the end of the war is going to be war on the other to the last one when Russia comes down, right? So that's why we talk about these things, you know, that are happening in the past that really point us to or Abijah, you know, the greater conflict spoken by Ezekiel, you know, and the other prophets, you know. So, we are living in those days now where things can just break, and things are really breaking, nations are breaking, isn't it? So, his main goal, and I quote, elimination of Israel as a nation. I'm quoting right now. See, Nasser rose in 1952, you know, and for a time he gave himself to strengthening the people of Egypt. He wanted to improve the economy. For example, he proposed to build the Aswan Dam, so which will provide water to open up a large tract of new land for Egypt. Expanding population at that time. That's good for him, but he had, look at his other evil ambition to destroy Israel. He looked to the U.S. to help them build the Aswan Dam. Yeah, U.S. responded, you know, it's always generous, right? But down the road, U.S. changed his mind. And why? I give three reasons why the U.S. changed his mind for continuing to help this man. So, number one, Nasser became reckless in handling the finances. So he was getting this money and was reckless with the money. Number two, he himself, Egypt, was making little or no contribution to the project, you know, ourselves. So the rather preparing to spend the money, whichever he could get money from, and to building military strength for an avowed showdown with Israel. See? You ask for money for Aswan Dam. Now you are not even contributing anything, and this means you are now building military complexes, all because of Israel. Avowed intent that, hey, we're going to destroy these people. So number three, why the U.S. stop doing anything for them about the Aswan Dam? Nasser has also been close, is now meddling with the communists, you know, the enemy of Israel. So for those three reasons, so the U.S. stopped financing the Aswan Dam. So to answer the U.S. rebuff, Nasser seized the control of the Suez Canal. See? Seized the control of the Suez Canal. That is in July 26, 1956. And announced that the proceeds from the Suez Canal that he seized will be used to build the Aswan Dam. So, you know, Russia, see? Russia welcomed the new situation in Egypt. And sided with Nathan in his hostility against Israel. Yeah, as you can see, almost all the wars that Egypt fought with the Arabs, Russia is behind it one way or the other. See? So, and all of them really, you know. So, from the time that Israel refused to be a satellite, you know, even though he tried to promote, he promoted in 1947, he helped the United Nations to vote then to have Palestine. That was the end of the deal. He knew that when he now knew that Israel became a nation and he won't budge to be a, so from that time on to the end of time, Russia is an arch enemy. And so anyway, so he now started with NASA, Russia did and so on. So and gratified that the new Soviet policy, NASA said to the Arabs. The Arabs now knew they can count on Russia's moral and material support in their dispute against Israel. The Arabs need to, the Arabs need no longer to waste any time, but take an opportunity of Russia siding them. So, and so Nathan now became very, very bold in his statement, making it clear to everyone that the Arab goal was to drive Israel into the sea. See? So making bold declaration like that, can you imagine? Even other Arab nations now begin to say, we will regain Palestine again. See? These are all statements from history, you know, to show what has been transpiring and what tiny Israel has faced. And how, but it's a miracle, it's the miracle of Israel, you know. It's another way of looking at this thing, you know, the miracle of Israel. Now, there were constant attacks on Israeli settlements, with many citizens losing their lives. Nasser's action in the matter of the Suez Canal caused dismay in the UK, France, and of course in Israel itself. And there are many, many UN resolutions to let him not continue to blow the Suez Canal, but none of them worked, you know. So on October 29, 1956, Israeli forces stabbed deep into Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. If the UN can't do it, we take care of business, you know. So, and that was in October 29, 1956, Israeli forces that deep into Egypt's Sinai Peninsula, you know. And later, 2 days later, Anglo-French operation began in the Suez, you know, to attempt to free the Suez Canal, you know. So, but Israel triggered the whole thing, you know, by attacking them and so on, you know. United Nations met again, and when they did, they ordered a ceasefire, and Israel had to withdraw to the 1949 armistice line. See, that's a withdrawal. And even the U.S. itself behaved strangely. So the U.S. Pressurized the friend, the U.K., to leave Egypt, you know, to leave the Suez. And, you know, I don't know why the U.S. did that, you know, so as to do the Egyptian soil. United Nations forces now began to police the boundary between Egypt and Israel. They now put a UN force, you know, between the two, between Egypt and Israel. Thus, Nasser apparently got all he wanted. He fell in Suez Canal. And now, I mean, we're almost in impunity, you know. So even the US, I mean, I told the English and the French to leave the place, you know. So yeah, he got what he wanted, right? So, but he can't destroy Israel anyway. His violation of the Solemn International Agreement was permitted to stand, meaning he kept the Suez like that, you know. So, now, the U.S. intervention in that Suez Canal crisis had a disastrous after effect that evaluated to the future. What was it? Russia immediately began to send large quantities of modern military equipment to the revolutionary regimes in Egypt, Iraq, and Syria. Talking about 1956, right? This thing began. So, and So the communists, they call it the call wars of liberation. What are you liberating? Or liberating them? So anyway, a wave of military coup and political assassinations swept over the unstable Arab countries, when this thing was going on. And as Egypt received more and more Russian military equipment, she steadily became more bellicose in her attitude toward Israel, meaning, hatred and war rhetoric, against Israel because of this big support from Russia. So this finally climaxed in Nasser's blockade of the Bay of Aqaba, the Bay of Aqaba, and many new military, alliances surrounding Israel, poised to destroy Israel. This was the terrible situation, this was the situation in the Middle East as of just before the Six-Day War. So the bloody Bay of Aqaba, so now we're approaching the Six-Day War. So by 1967, the heroic status that Nasser has attained after the 56th war began to erode. He made another mistake. He challenged King Faisal of Saudi Arabia over the control of Yemen. And he lost in that battle, So they were talking together, King of Saudi Arabia and so on. I don't know what they were fighting about Yemen for. He wanted to get control of Yemen, but Nasser failed, in that war. So, with no more aid from the U.S., his people were approaching famine conditions in Egypt. And Russia had furnished them with military aid, but they did not feel empty stomachs. even their own country, they are impoverished. I remember when I was in Nigeria, even back in the early 80s or something, they were saying that regular Russian people, I won't say a bathtub. And they were spending money on military things. The Cold War. They spent all the money on to fight the West. And even ordinary bathtub. So can you see demonic thing, that can rule the world and so on. The same thing is amassing these things, and giving them these things, but can't feel the empty stomach of the Egyptians, neighboring states now begin to refuse to accept Nasser's role as the leader of the Arab world. And Nasser needed some dramatic move to restore the dwindling prestige that he used to have. So Russia saw the situation in the Middle East. See that every face of it is in it, Russia. So Russia saw the situation in the Middle East and consider it an opportunity for her advantage. Know what she did? Diabolical. She faked reports that Israel was now amassing her troops near the Syrian border. It was all fake. It was just made it up, just to cause confusion and destruction. So the false report greatly, exalted Nasser. Russia made the report, right? Evil report. So Nasser was, was happy. So what he did, he ordered the UN keep this effort to lift the boundary between him and Israel. So he ordered them out, and they complied, and they left the place. So and this made him to be happy. So before the UN could make any more steps, Nasser ordered a blockade of the Straits of Taiwan. Straits of Taiwan is the only no gateway for Israel to do a commerce with the rest of the east. So when you block that one, what else is left? So and that is paralyzing the economy of Israel. So and so just at that particular that one stroke, you know, the Egyptian dictator later shut off all the commerce of Israel with the east. So and Israel began to suffer commercially. And so the Israelites knew that their survival was at stake. I mean, no commerce, nothing. You know, you can't trade. So now, Netanyahu had moved his Russian-made tanks and artillery to occupy the departed United Nations peacekeeping force. Right? He now filled all that thing with it now with artillery and Russian machinery over there. So what will Israel do now? So and so Israel looked for to the US for help, but he couldn't get help because why? US is bogged down in Vietnam. Talking about 67 right now, 1967. So US couldn't help them because they were bogged down in Vietnam themselves. So what will Israel do now? So seeing there was no one to restrain him, meaning Nasser, he proceeded to tighten the noose around Israel's neck, so to say, you know. And so the prospect of what was grim for Israel. So the little nation could not even keep its forces mobilized indefinitely, couldn't do it. Most of the soldiers that Israel now have were reserved fresh from the shop and from the factory. So for the moment from the moment of our mobilization, the Jewish economy had practically ground to a halt. You know, Israel saw that an hour of truth had come and the war was inevitable. See, what can you do? You can't do commerce. So just sit down there. So while the nation waited, that's the beauty of things, you know. Do you always go back to the word of God? That is the beauty of it all. So yes. So while the nation waited, thousands of families turned their Bibles, you know, and read the following scripture from Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. I hear what it says. When thou goest out to battle against thy enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And verse 4, that's right. And verse 4 says, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. So they turn to the Bible. When the help of man fails, US couldn't help them. So commerce has gone to a halt. They can't trade. What can we do? So they turn to the scripture. The thing that God has already given to Moses. So it was good in the days of Moses. God's word is eternal. It was good for that time, good today, it's good forever.
Amen.
And it worked, you know. So anyway, now here comes Ben Gurion again, the grand old papa of Israel, right? So David Ben Gurion, the grand old man who had guided the Israeli ship of state in the days of their independence, he now arose and said something. And I want to quote him. If we wait a moment longer, we shall be like the Jews who walked obediently to their death in Nazi extermination centers. And if Israel goes the same way, there is no further hope for humanity. Ben Gurion. So now, this was the situation. As the hours clicked away slowly On the night of June 4, 1967, the war began on June 5. And according to the 6-day war, right? June 5 through June 11, 1967. So now, the blackout that shredded the cities gradually gave way, past June 4, to a day to be long remembered. It was 7 o'clock, Monday, June 5, 1967. As the sun edged over the east of Moab, Israeli jets slipped off their runways and within moments were over Egyptian bases, raining destruction on planes resting on the runways. By evening time, Egyptian Air Force was in shambles. They were them up.
I remember I read somewhere.
250
planes of Egypt.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I will tell you.
Praise God.
Now, in fact, even in the monetary terms,
yes,
back in the 50s, about $1 billion worth of Russian tanks, trucks, jeeps, and guns smothered in ruin. $1 billion in 1956. Can you imagine? So, oh, the Lord our God, He is mighty.
Awesome
God. Of course, the news of the victory. Initially, there was still rumor that Egypt was winning or something like that, But the news of the victory was flashed over Israel. Know what happened? The devout could think as Miriam of old, 3,500 years before, on the same side of the Red Sea.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And let's see what they think, in Exodus 15. And there's a couple of them, verse 1 says, then sang Moses, the old man, I can see Moses.
Yeah.
Then sang Moses, and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and they spake, saying, I will, Exodus 15. Yeah, 15, sorry. Verse 1. So, okay. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. Verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Verse 9. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lot shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. See, the Lord blow with his wind. The sea covered them. The sand has led in the midst in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in presence, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy hand, the heart swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Go back to the scriptures again. So that's so far on the senior or the father tells you that, right? What happened back in, you know, in Israel in those days? These are civil war, right?
Yes.
Simultaneously, Israel had been, it was being made in Jerusalem itself. Now, Jordan, which had been even a victim of Nathan himself in the past, joined together with Nathan, you know, in this thing. King Hussein, he was a moderate Arab, actually. So he was a moderate Arab. And, you know, but what happened was that the Egyptian forces in Jordan, encouraged by some false report that Egypt was winning, now were ordered to begin to bombard Jerusalem. So they begin to share Jerusalem, you know, those Egyptian forces in Jordan, you know, and, so the other that. So for 2 days, the city underwent severe bombardment from the Egyptian forces in Jordan. So, you know what happened? Israel had taken care of business in the Sinai Desert, right? Now the jets now slip back to Jerusalem and swoop down on all those Egyptian forces and level them.
Oh my God.
And level them up, you know. So by Thursday, so it began on Monday, right? By Thursday, the whole city and all of the West Bank were back in Jewish hands.
Wow.
So and with the old Jerusalem, you know, in Israel possession now, thousands of Jewish residents streamed across to the Wailing Wall, see, which they couldn't read before, right? To the Wailing Wall, where they wept and they rejoiced and thanked God for deliverance. The chief rabbi, carrying the Torah to the wall, cried, and I quote, "We are entering the Messianic era for the Jewish people."
Amen.
So now, what happened to Nathan? He denied. He said that, oh, you know, it wasn't the Israelis that defeated us. It was the British and the American people that destroyed us. Now, can you imagine? So now, but later on, he was proven wrong. So the ordinary Egyptian believed him. And they still keep him as a hero, you know. So, but nevertheless, we know what happened in India. So that was your 6 day war, you know, of 1967. So, and we just stopped there tonight. So, I think we might do one or two before, you know, our brother has some series coming, you know. So, but the next major war is the Yom Kippur War of October 1973. That almost that Israel to annihilation. It was so close. So I will just talk about it next time by God's grace, and you wrap it up from there, you know.
I think before you leave,
Nathan
committed suicide, right?
Yeah, I think he did. Can you imagine? Like Hitler, exactly right. Or Nero. Nero.
And there was a time they said that a battalion of the Egyptian army were corrupt by the Israelis. And they said they are not going to waste their bullets, that they will die on their feet of hunger or everything. The United Nations had to be pleading with Israel, begging Israel, please withdraw so they can have supply. And when they went back to Egypt, and they were thanking Israel that you saved us, because Israel vowed that they're going to die on their feet. Because by the time there's no supply, you stand on your feet for 3 days, no food, no water, that they will die on their feet, they won't waste their bullets.
So again, the Yom Kippur, the Yom Kippur war is even, when we talk about this, it's even only God's intervention can be a complete annihilation. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus. We see your word coming to picture again. Your children didn't forget your word that you get even back in the days of Moses. And Lord, we thank you for the victory for your ancient people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, strengthen us as the Gentile elect. In the name of the Lord, that all of God's promises for us are going to come to pass. The rapture will come to pass in this generation. How do we know? Bible say that generation that see Israel become a nation again. He didn't give all the length of that generation, but it won't pass away anyway until all these things be fulfilled.
Amen.
Jerusalem will be trodden down only until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
Amen.
And they shall get it back again. They have since gotten it back in that 67 war.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for watching. That's why we know the signpost you gave us, Lord, that we should not be children of the night. We are children of day, and the coming of the Lord will not come upon us when we
are.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
As you obey your word, worship therefore and pray always. And as my counsel to warn you to escape all these things.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you. We are living the most exciting time in the history of the world.
Amen.
Yes, for the world, beginning of sorrow. Yes, the world will enter a time of calamity and sorrow. No, that's a time of terrible thing that you know that the world has never seen before. But for the elect, lift up your head, you know, and live for joy.
Amen.
For our redemption draws nigh.
That
is His word for us. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. For now, the door of opportunity for the Lord is fast closing. And we continue to pray and intercede.
Amen.
Just like Abraham of old. He was out of Sodom, but Lord, the compassion of the Lord, the Spirit of God.
Yes.
So we continue intercession in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for making your children of light.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you for blessing us tonight again. As we enter into the prayer session, we know you're going to even bless us the more.
Amen.
At your name, we are all together glorified. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, brother will be